Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Let me hit this button, and then we can do it. In the playbook for a Thursday on Patriots.com
radio.
Did you
just write a book on radio?
First radio?
Yeah, I know.
First rodeo?
First time in radio, yes. Press the on button for the microphone. Well, it's because I got thrown off simply because normally the show starts at the top of the hour, and I didn't realize we're going to have all of an hour and 45 minutes to fill today.
Wow. How long are we going here?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Bill, for that. Where was his interruption when I needed it 15 minutes ago? All right, we welcome you inside the playbook for Thursday with Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, who's getting ready to get on the plane to go over there.
Can't wait.
In about another, 45 minutes or so, you're leaving?
2 hours we get through screening, and then 3 hours we leave.
The screening's already started, by the way, outside. I've seen the tents all set up, getting everybody through.
Yeah, we had to drop our luggage off first.
Right.
And then screening begins at 4:30.
Taking care of all that, right?
Buses leave at 5:30.
And then you're out.
And then we're out.
Okay. Well, you get to go to London, and I get to go to Louisville, Kentucky. How about that?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
For?
College game tomorrow night.
College football?
Yes.
Louisville,
Cincinnati.
Conference USA. Well, I didn't even know what the conferences are.
Conference USA. It sounds like it. No, it's a Big East game.
I know.
Yeah. Sounds like it, though, doesn't it? Such is life. Such is life. All right, so here's what we're talking about today. We have Russell Baxter, of course, Pro Football Guru, coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, which will run through the entire Week 8 schedule in the NFL. But before we get to that point, on Thursdays, we want your predictions, as we always do inside the playbook here. So we want your thoughts of the Pats and the Rams. Where's this thing going to break down? Who's going to win it? Predict the score. Make a stand. Make a statement. Tell us how you really feel. But there's another aspect to this today that I really want to know. Is we're going to jump into a little bit of the Rams and the Patriots coming up in a little bit. But along those lines, and this is sort of going to kind of push us, Eric, into next week being the bye week.
Yep.
Because we won't have an opponent specifically to talk about it. We're going to do some fun things next week. We'll play Game Show Wednesday. Right, Kev?
Oh, yeah.
We'll do Game Show Wednesday during the week, and we'll come up with some other novel things, I'm sure. But I want you to be thinking about this particular question today, to kind of get you thinking off the track of actually just game planning for the opponent, because that's what we'll be doing largely next week. Sports Illustrated, the venerable Sports Illustrated, polled 180 NFL players, and a lot of tweets about it today, and I think it was on SA.com earlier today, and I saw it actually originally through a tweet. They polled 180 players in the NFL, current players, and asked them who they thought was the most overrated player in the NFL.
And the answer was consensus.
Tim Tebow.
Not a huge surprise.
By far and away.
Not a huge surprise.
He took in well over 30%, about 34% of the vote. Tied for second, by the way, was the other Jets quarterback, Mark Sanchez.
Sanchez. Really?
So how does that make you feel about your getting by on the skin of your teeth last week, you know? But along those lines, I wanted you to think, because next week we're going to talk about midseason report cards, and we're going to talk about, you know, where improvements can be had.
Introspection.
A little introspection, and really what kind of team the Patriots are at the midway point, because we basically spent the first half of the season talking about that and said, you know, you really start to get a feel for who you are when you hit the halfway point in the year. Well, by this time next week, we're there.
Yep, and by the end of the third quarter of the season, you are what you are.
Yes. It's very difficult to change it.
Pretty much, yeah. The last quarter of the season into the playoffs, it's hard to turn it around.
You are who you are.
It's not impossible.
Right.
We've seen cases where teams have made runs. I mean, the Giants have done it a couple of times.
Giants did it last year.
The Colts defense did it the year they won the Super Bowl.
Giants were 9-7 and did it last year. And then we've had several respondents here, you know, via all sorts of media say the same thing.
But by and large, you are who you are.
Right. So what I want you to do, though, in this vein, is to consider overrated players on the New England Patriots. Who is the most overrated Patriot in your estimation? You can reach us here on the program, of course, webradio@patriots.com, the email address, webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, it's 508-298-0398. Hit me up on the Facebook page, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, or Twitter, at JRook0722. Who is the most overrated
great question.
Patriot?
I think it's a really, really good question.
By the way, of the respondents to SI's poll on the NFL players, did not see a Patriot garner more than 1% or, you know, a vote. And I didn't even see the entire poll. I'll be honest, I don't know how deep it went. It only went about 10 players deep because I think those are the ones that got multiple votes.
Are there any... Was there a poll just the opposite? Were they underrated? Most
no.
underrated?
No.
Because that might be an interesting one, too.
We could,
Who's the most unsung?
That, I think, is a good idea for next week. So we're going to whet some appetites here.
All right.
And we're going to go overrated for now.
Overrated.
I don't want to know unsung heroes.
Okay.
Let's wait and get through this Sunday because we might need one of those unsung heroes to get through it all.
Oh, that red field on that, they're showing a highlight of the,
Eastern
Washington? Eastern
Washington.
Wow, that's just.
That just
makes
your eyes hurt, doesn't it?
For the whole, I love it as an end zone color, but just the whole field. It's plus with the red uniforms.
Yeah. Well, you know, Boise State has the blue.
Yeah, and that's jarring too when they wear the blue uniforms.
Well, you know, they lead the country in bird deaths.
I think that's a urban legend.
I don't think so.
I think it is.
Are you sure about that?
I think
I was at the University of Virginia this time a year ago for a baseball camp for my son. And they have a blue field turf field for their field hockey team. And they were saying the same thing there, that all the time they find dead birds on the
really?
Field. Yes. Because the field hockey field turf is blue.
Yeah.
And birds take it for water, and boom, there they go.
I have my suspicions.
You have your doubts?
Yeah.
So you think they're all yanking our chain, huh? Okay. Well, all right. You're entitled to your opinion, my friend.
Well, if you're saying UVA does it, too, maybe there's something to it.
Well, they did say that when we were there.
I thought Boise, because Boise was the only one who had it for a while.
See, what I was looking forward to, though, is when, you know, University of Texas San Antonio started football a year ago. Roadrunners, you know, Larry Coker, the former Miami coach, is at UT San Antonio, and they're actually joining Conference USA, speaking of Conference USA, next year. And when they started football a couple years ago, they said they were going to have their field burnt orange.
Ooh.
And I actually thought that looked good. I thought that might actually look pretty good. But I don't think they ever went through with it.
Like dead grass.
I don't think they did that in the Alamo Dome. I think they were going to go with a burnt orange look, you know, on the grassy field just to get people talking
Texas's
about it.
But that's Texas' color.
It is. Well, but they have burnt orange and blue. They're not burnt orange and white. They're orange and blue. I know. They're sucking off the teat of the mothership.
They are. They really are. Plus, aren't those UTEP colors?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I believe. Well, it's, you know, what
a bunch of thieves over there in San Antonio.
What can I tell you about the directional schools, you know? El Paso, San Antonio, Dallas, Tyler, Permian Basin.
What
the hell is that?
Directional schools?
Directional schools, yeah. You know, it's east, west, south, north, you know. Sub-campuses.
He says with disdain dripping from his lip.
That's exactly right. All right, so I want you to be thinking about the thoughts. I want you to think about the thoughts of overrated Patriots. Who, in your estimation right now, stands in your mind as the most overrated New England Patriot? And I want you to hold your thought, and we're going to get through it because I'm going to get some emails in here. I want to get some Facebook posts in here. I want to get some tweets. Definitely want to get some phone calls, 508-298-0398, plus your predictions for Sunday's game overseas. Now, to that end, I am pleased to tell you that we are going to be joined by Sam from London here on the Playbook because Sam is overseas and he's looking forward to his Patriots coming over to play. Sam, you're in the Playbook. How are you, pal?
Hey, John. How you doing? I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, are you going to be attending festivities and such this weekend?
100%. I'm going to be at Wembley on Sunday. Going to try and soak up as much of it as I can.
Fantastic. Give us a lay of the land and how Londoners are basically treating the arrival of the two teams again, because, you know, I really, it's nice to have perspective from the local point of view. Is this a big deal?
Sure. Well, I've been, what is this? Is this the sixth year, I think? I've been every year.
Seventh, I believe.
Seventh year,
three years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh year. Yeah, I've been every year so far, and I can definitely say that the presence within London has grown over the 7 years. I think the NFL have taken over, obviously, with
taking
over the Reebok sponsorship this year. NFL have taken over Nike Town in the West End, which is like the big kind of shopping area in London. So it's kind of NFL crazy there. Trafalgar Square, which is a big destination in London, is being taken over on Saturday for a tailgate party, and they're going to have like some of the NFL guys come down. I'm guessing Marshall Faulk and those kind of guys, music being played. So yeah, it's going to be awesome. And obviously, the most thing I'm looking forward to is Sunday night and getting the W, of course.
Well, Sam, some of your New England Patriots will be at that fan rally at Trafalgar Square. So be aware.
Really?
Of that. Yes.
I'm definitely gonna be there then. 100%.
And I would say I don't know an exact time, but I would venture earlier rather than later in the day.
Okay, thank you. It's good for the heads up.
You might even have one PFW Eric.
Well, we'll see about that.
Oh
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right. You might.
Nice. Well, you know, if you want to grab some lunch, Eric.
I just set you up, Eric. Come on. What are you talking about? By the way, don't pay a word of attention.
If this were Samantha, I would have appreciated it more.
Understood. But don't pay a word of attention to what Marshall Faulk says, because he still hates on the Patriots.
Oh yeah, he does.
He's still very bitter over 2001.
He's never going to let that.
Yeah,
go.
He might be slightly biased still.
Slightly? No, he's all biased. So, that's why you can't pay any attention to anything the guy says about the Patriots. So,
okay. Got it.
Yeah, that really kind of eats into the NFL Network's credibility.
But definitely, Sam, if you're in Trafalgar, you know, roughly in the 1 o'clock or so time frame, you might be in good shape to see some Patriots.
Right,
I'm not guaranteeing you anything, but I'm just
going to be there.
I'm not guaranteeing you anything. I'm just saying.
Thank you.
Aware.
Thank you for the advice.
Sam, I asked the question because, as you suggested, it is the sixth year, and I'm wondering if, the game in London is picking up steam, or if Brits largely are kind of losing the novel aspect of it, or what do you think the future might be? I mean, could London conceivably, host multiple games, or, people have even mentioned down the line London even having a franchise.
I know. I'd love it if they could have a London franchise. The logistics of it might mean that it never happens, but I mean we can hope. But of course. I mean, next year they've got two games now. Pittsburgh and the Vikings got booked, was it a couple of weeks ago, to play a second game at Wembley. So I mean, from the NFL's perspective, it must be working, and they must be gaining fans. I know American football is one of the biggest growing sports in the UK for sure. My brother Charlie, he plays for London Blitz, four-time champions over here in the UK. So I know that not just from a viewing perspective, but people are wanting to get out on the field and put on the pads and have a go.
What position does he play?
He's a wide receiver. He's a wide receiver.
Excellent.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's nice. I tell him if I put on the pads and went and covered him, he'd get shot down. He knows that.
Oh. I like it. A little smack talk. Now, here's a question. Here's a question for you now, because we're sending, the NFL is sending, regular season games and going to send, as you suggested, two next year to London.
Yep.
What are the chances we ever see a real premiership game over here in the States?
Oh, that'd be great.
I was talking about that to someone today, and I think that's a definite possibility. They're always looking to kind of grow their fans outside of the core UK fan base, and obviously football is massive over all over the world, and I guess it's growing and growing and growing in the US.
Well,
so I could 100% see like a Man United game being played over in New York or somewhere. They've played plenty of like preseason games overseas and in the States. So,
we've had them here at Gillette. We've had friendlies here at Gillette. So I'm kind of curious as to, and Eric and I were talking about this yesterday. Yeah. Stan Kroenke owns
Arsenal.
Arsenal,
and I think they would be a likely candidate.
That's my team
too, Sam. They're my likeliest candidate to have a regular season game here because of Stan Kroenke.
Right.
Liverpool.
That would be amazing, and I would strongly advise the Premiership to look into that, because if we get you guys involved, although if we get you guys involved, you might suddenly think that you can actually play football.
The perfect opportunity.
I think that was a slap with a glove there.
No, it was. we'll let it go though in light of the
selective hearing.
Exactly. Arsenal-Liverpool at Gillette Stadium would be a great because you've got Stan Kroenke and the Boston based.
I'd be there.
Oh, that would be phenomenal. I would love it.
Yeah, I would too.
That would be good.
I would too. Yeah, you'd have John Henry, the owner of the Sox,
exactly.
You know, who owns Liverpool. That's great. By the way, how do Brits feel about? How do you guys feel about ownership coming from the United States with some of your premier teams?
I don't know. To be honest, I mean, we've seen over the last kind of nearly 10 years the landscape of English football change with like overly wealthy owners coming in. It started with Chelsea and a Russian guy called Roman Abramovich, mm-hmm. and it's kind of changed the way football's played. It's teams can be bought, like Manchester City were bought by a guy who's just got kind of unlimited pot of cash.
Yeah, throwing money around.
The football club just turns into kind of his play toy, and he can just buy whoever he wants. I always say the good thing about American sport is kind of just a level playing field, so to speak, where every year you guys try and keep it kind of a standard that's across the board. So, you know, you might be the worst team one year, but you could be a good team the next year. And this year, more than any, with the amount of close games that we've seen, it's proving successful.
Sam, I have an Arsenal-related question for you.
Oh, here we go. Oh,
no, come on, John. Just indulge me for a second here. I know they're playing QPR on Saturday afternoon.
Correct.
I'm assuming they're sold out, and I'm hearing from people on Twitter that the game is sold out. However, instead of actually getting to go to a game, what I would love is to get an Arsenal hoodie, a hooded sweatshirt.
You want to get an Arsenal hoodie?
I want to get an Arsenal hoodie. Is the pro shop at the Emirates... Like, is it worth going to during the game, like while the game's going on or before the game? Because here at Foxborough, the Patriots Pro Shop is open game days. That's the place to go to get all your stuff, obviously.
Yeah,
but is it the same way? Should I go to the Emirates to get an Arsenal hoodie?
Yes, you should. Yes, you should.
On game day?
On game day, the shop is open.
And we're near Hyde. We're going to be staying near Hyde Park.
Okay. Part,
you know, near the Marble Arch area. How close am I to Emirates?
Sam,
there?
He needs a tour guide, and he's looking to hire one.
No, I don't. I can do it myself. I just want to know where it is.
I can take it to the Emirates.
I don't need you to hold my hand. I just want to know where it is in relation to that part of London in the Mayfair district.
Hyde Park is pretty central, and it's not that far. It's just a bit north of where you are.
Can I take the tube to get there? Is it easy to take the tube?
Take the tube. You can take the bus. If you could jump in a cab and be there in 20 minutes.
There you go. All right, you're all set-y.
All right, I'm on the quest for an Arsenal hoodie.
We can sort that out easy.
Okay. Same. There you go. All right. So, well, we've kind of come to our conclusions now on British football or football to the rest of the
football.
World, other than
American football.
American football is also going to be played there this weekend. So, give us your thoughts on the matchup? What do you fear the most as a Patriots fan? What do you fear the most from the Rams this Sunday?
I think the Rams defense is underrated. I think they got a good D line. Their DBs are playing well. Finnegan slotted in really nicely. But then I think the one thing that you have playing in London, one of the things is it's the soft field. It's the slower field. Mm. So I tend to think that the run game is going to need to be kind of firing on all cylinders. So in that sense, I think the likes of Woodhead. The likes of Ridley are going to need to have good games. I think that our defense as well is more suited to the run, and obviously the Rams are a run heavy team. Bradford's a great quarterback, but he just doesn't have the weapons. It's kind of sad. I feel a bit bad for the guy. He draft days come and go, and he's still stuck with nobodies. And I know our defense is getting a lot of stick, and rightfully so. The secondary is not exactly playing to the standard that you've come to expect. But, I mean, our D-line and our linebackers, they've got to be up there with some of the best groups in the NFL, especially our linebackers. I mean, Nink, Spikes, Mayo, they're all performing every week and playing. Will Fork down the middle, dude's a beast, and he's there every single week. He's a leader of our defense, you know?
Okay. Pretty good. That's a pretty good analysis. How about a prediction then?
A prediction. Okay, let me go with the prediction. What was the score last time we put up?
35-7.
It was 35-7 last time the Patriots played at Wembley three years ago.
It was 3 years ago today. Today was 3 years.
It'll be a little closer. I'm going to go, let's go 30 to 14.
30 to 14.
30 to 14, wow.
Nobody likes the Rams' offense.
I do.
No, yeah, this, what's to like? You know?
Well, I realize they're going to be without Danny Amendola again, it would appear this
week. I like them against the secondary. That's what I
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm concerned about.
That's the problem.
Yeah, me too.
I suppose we just need to try and if we get pressure up front, I think we'll definitely be fine. And if we got to stop dropping the ball.
That's a given.
It's costing us.
Yeah.
I mean, if Lloyd makes a couple catches last week, it's a blowout win, and we don't even need to have a discussion about how we're losing leads again.
Good point.
Not to say that they're easy, but you know, that you from what you read and hear about the catches he makes in training and stuff, you come to expect something.
Mm-hmm.
I have one last cultural sort of question for you, Sam.
Okay, go.
Wembley is considered the most revered,
sacred
football venue in Europe, or in England at least, but in the UK.
One of in Europe, and certainly
the most venerable in the UK.
In England. Yeah.
Right.
It's one of the most famous stadiums,
sure,
period, on the planet.
And growing up as a kid, who's I'm using their term, as a football fan in the UK. Growing up, your goal is always to play for the Three Lions and to play at Wembley, right?
Yep.
How do UK football fans reconcile these American football athletes coming over and being able to just automatically show up and play in this stadium that kids grow up and strive to play in, and it's just sort of treated as like, oh yeah, sure, come on in, just use our greatest stadium in the whole world. Like, what is that? How do the average UK citizens view that?
No, you know, I think it's okay. I think I don't think there's any negativity around it. I think we're quite open in the UK to talented athletes, talented artists, whoever coming and kind of sharing their gifts with us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially having just put on like a great Olympics and seen some of the players are over here. I was lucky enough to go and see Team USA play in one of the basketball games, which was just, I saw them play like in a preseason before the Olympics. Like they played a practice game against Team GB, and it was just fantastic. And people can't get enough of that. If you guys were coming over here and doing something substandard and it wasn't very good, then no one would. Yeah, you know, people might have an issue with that. But you guys, if there's one thing that you guys definitely know how to do, is put on a show.
You know, here's a good analogy. Yeah, here's a good analogy. I think you guys, I'm getting the sense from you, Sam, that UK fans, especially the NFL, treat the NFL coming over there kind of like, you know, knowledgeable sports fans treat the Premiership coming over here to play, which is why we'd like to see the real deal. Mm-hmm. Not just exhibitions, not just friendlies.
Yeah. No,
I want to see the real deal.
Right.
Yeah, you want to see people going at it 100%. I know. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's one of the great things for the NFL to, well, obviously in their first year, it's a big risk to move a regular season game, which there's a lot riding on it, and take it across the planet and go mm-hmm. play it somewhere else.
Right? And I think the EPL coming here to play a regular season game would certainly work out with their schedules, because they normally play Saturday, Sunday, and they have Monday night football over there as well, and they once in a while play a Wednesday game midweek.
Yep.
So it's not like
it's any different.
It's not like it's any
doing.
Different. Yeah, like they could play on a weekend or play on a Wednesday and then fly over here, get adjusted for a day or two, play a game, and then go back home and be well adjusted to play their next game.
I don't see any reason why we could. We have to start. You know, we have to start making
a lobby
this happen.
For it. When I go over
lobby.
There,
we got to make this happen.
I'll start lobbying tomorrow.
Let's start a petition.
Yep.
One more question, Sam, before we let you go. We kind of have asked, as far as our listeners today, a general question. Sports Illustrated magazine over here had polled 180 NFL players this week, asking who they thought the most overrated player was in the NFL. And the overall answer predominantly was Tim Tebow. So I want to ask you to kind of kick this off for us today. Who's the most overrated Patriot in your estimation?
Ooh, Patriot.
Patriot.
Ooh, it's like asking me which of my children I like the least.
Don't sit on the fence because you can get hit from both sides.
All right, that's tough. At the moment, you'd have to say Brandon Lloyd.
That's a good one.
The way His performances from the preseason hype kind of thing, I mean, saying, oh, he catches everything. The guys, he's like, his hands are like glue. And then going out and he's not really getting separation as much as he should. Making Brady try and force the ball to him, which on Brady's part isn't great, but he's not been what we wanted him to be. He's not been Chad Ochocinco, don't get me wrong. It's not complete failure, and I think he will get better. But if I had to say a Patriot, I'd say Brandon Lloyd.
Very
if I had
nice.
To say someone else in the NFL apart from Tebow to piss my brother off who's an Eagles fan, I'd say Mike Vick.
Well, actually, funny you should say that, because Vick, I think, was fourth on the list.
Yeah, he's got to be up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam, great stuff. Thank you for taking the time to call in and chat with us and give us a little UK Pats perspective. And
I'm not even going to
say enjoy it, because I know you're going to. But
oh,
just,
yeah.
just
absolutely will.
Just be careful out there.
I will. Give me a shout. Give me a shout when you're over here if you need some guidance. We'll sort out that Arsenal hoodie. And thank you guys for having me. And shout out to all Pats Nation. Love you guys.
Thanks, you got it.
All right, Sam, we'll see you in London.
Sam in London, joining us here inside the playbook. Good UK Pats fan, right?
Yeah.
That was good. I really wanted to get the British perspective this week somewhat, because it did seem like, you know, with the NFL going over every year, that maybe over the last year or two, things are starting to wane in terms of interest of NFL football over there. And now that they're kind of stepping it up, and they've asked the Patriots to reenter, which we know there's a huge UK following for the Patriots, I was just kind of curious to know what the local lay of the land was. How mm-hmm. how does the common Brit view the National Football League? Do they think it's a legitimate happenstance, or is it just still a novelty? You know,
yeah.
All these American gladiators. You know, with pads on.
I think it's growing. I get more and more followers every day from the UK. And from overseas in general.
Yeah, I do too.
We get more questions from SPFW from people who are all over the globe, not just the UK too. But I think it's continuing to grow in popularity outside our country.
So we've gone absolutely global today here inside the playbook. 508-298-0398. And by the way, if you're listening overseas and you got us live here, nighttime or evening time where you are, feel free to pick up the phone and give us a buzz as well. Love to hear your perspective, as we did from Sam. In the meantime, there are two things on the table. We need your prediction. Need your prediction for Sunday. And who's the most overrated Patriots player in your estimation right now? Webradio@patriots.com. The email address, 508-298-0398. The Ace Ticket Hotline, John.Rook. Facebook and Twitter is @JRook0722. All right, want to get into a timeout? We'll get into a timeout. Consider those thoughts. Give me your answers starting now.
Ooh, blimey!
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Good choice of music. We've done kind of done the Werewolves of London thing a little bit too much, haven't we? That's kind of what I think. Although, it is really, it's really difficult to hear too much Warren Zevon, isn't it? So, you don't think so?
Such a great song.
It is a good song. This is a good song. Welcome back inside the playbook. We could have played some Beatles, you know, I don't know, some Rolling Stones. I mean, anything with a little British flavor, right? I think that would have been a good way to go, but it is what it is. So, our favorite saying. Welcome back inside the playbook as we continue here on Patriots.com radio. And John Rook with Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, who is getting ready to jump on the plane in a couple of hours, head overseas, and he'll be arriving with the team at some point in time Friday morning, London time, middle of the night. United States time.
Yeah.
Largely,
wee hours.
Right? Yeah. Wee hours of the morn, but you'll be up and rolling and probably on sheer adrenaline, right?
Sure.
So I think that that's got to be at least part of the concern. One of the reasons why they're working out, doing everything here, getting all the heavy lifting done this week, and then hoping to sort of let tomorrow, Friday, sort of take care of the jet lag and be ready to roll with a regular Saturday. Is about the lay of the land, what Bill has said this week?
Yeah, they've done their regular Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Earlier, they did it Tuesday, Wednesday, and today, Thursday. The heavy lifting, as you said, here. so that they, once they get to London, it's just take it easy, do their regular Saturday, which is always an easy day, and get ready for the game. So it's really not much more different than going to the West Coast of the U.S., like we did for Seattle a couple of weeks ago. Not a whole lot different. It's a matter of getting used to the time change. That's the biggest. That's the biggest thing, which is why we always, anytime we're mountain time zone or further, we leave on a Friday to get a full day to get used to the time. And now we'll have 2 days to get used to the time, which is great.
Yep, absolutely. All right, back to the bat phone. Here's Bob in Dedham, Mass. Bob, you're in the playbook.
Yeah, hi. Love Warren Zevon, by the way. You can play Werewolves of London as much as you want.
Oh, see, there you go. All right, Kev, you've had a request.
I've been listening to about the football in England, and I have a little story. It was like 25 years ago, I was working with McDonald's, and they had a work exchange program with England. And there was a girl that came over. This is like 25 years ago now. This girl that came over, and she loved American football, but, I mean, she was fanatical about it. And according to her, there was almost like a cult-like following for American football in England, in London. She was from London at the time. And I just thought that was kind of interesting, because they didn't even have American football over there. I don't think they showed it on TV.
What year was this?
This was like 1980s.
Yeah, well, that's when they first started. There was a network called Channel 4 in the UK, I believe, which was the first one that started showing NFL games. It was sort of a novelty at the time. And one of the first teams that was shown there actually was the Patriots, I believe. And it's how a lot of the UK fans became Patriots fans, because they saw that there was a team with England in the name and, you know, the Patriots and the whole Revolutionary War connection thing. A lot of them, you know, started watching games because Channel 4, I think it was, would show a game a week. You know, obviously on delay. It wasn't live, I don't think. But they would show American football games there during the 80s, and that's how it sort of took root.
Okay, that's good information, actually. It's pretty good knowledge on your part. Something about cults. Whenever you have a cult, it indicates that you've hit a vein in a cult in a country. You've hit like a strong vein in that country. You know, maybe not the whole, you haven't grabbed the whole country, but it's, you know, football is very entertaining. That's why it's the most popular sport in the country. It's just fun to watch.
Well, you've got extraordinary athletes performing extraordinary feats of athleticism, and you've got, you know, them, and I've always likened the NFL to really the modern day Roman gladiators, to be honest with you, even though the players don't like that because it's not life or death, but in a sense, really is what it is, because you're talking about, you know, these guys doing what they do as a matter of survival, literally, in some instances, in front of thousands of people, you know, like they used to do, or at least we think they used to do in the Roman Colosseum, you know, back eons ago.
They did it in Rome.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
sure.
They definitely did it.
Well, then that's why I think, because it's the whole human need to connect yourself to the impossible, and the average person just doesn't see themselves do what, you know, our current football players do, or certainly do what the gladiators did back around the birth of Christ. So I, you know, it just, that's just the way things are. It's the way humanity has always been, and I can certainly understand why it is as popular as it is, and I'm very pleased that the NFL is as popular and continues to gain in some popularity in not only England, but throughout Europe. And I do think there will come a day, and I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime or yours. I do think there will come a day when we will have a true NFL Europe division. You know, we tried to do that with, you know, NFL Europe a few years ago with the Spring Football League, and I think that that actually is a good idea, because the NFL should have a minor league system, and I think that actually worked, but the owners no longer wanted to pay for it, and so that's why it went away. But I do think, though, that, you know, as the NFL is increasing its presence in Europe, that it is not altogether far-fetched to have a European division, finding, you know, the opportunity at least for, you know, two or three or maybe even four franchises in Europe actually competing as an expanded NFL.
Yeah, they're not going to. I mean, I think the NFL is going in the right direction, protecting the players. But, you know, because there is a point where in Europe they won't. I don't think they'll accept it. A game that's too bloodthirsty.
No,
should we hear?
Well, first of all, you never know, because I think everybody loves a train wreck. Everybody loves a car accident. We always stop and look at the other side of the road when we can't do anything about it. So I think that's part of human nature, Bob. But here's the other thing. The players, taking care of the players, we don't want to put the players at a disadvantage. That's fine. I understand that. But let me tell you something. Four new teams or three new teams or two new teams that are based over in Europe would be a huge hit with players overall. Why? More jobs.
Right, right.
Okay? More jobs. And right now, as you very well know, on this part, side of the pond, we need more jobs, and that's even for our pro football players. So I think that would be a problem we could overcome.
Yeah. Well, great comments, Eric and both of you. You really guys kind of know what you're talking about.
Thanks,
anyway,
Bob.
I just wanted to get that off.
Appreciate you sharing that. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Thanks.
All right, you got it. Bob in Dedham, Mass. So a step in the right direction, I guess, for football in the U.K. A couple of quick things. First of all, how about a practice report today?
Yeah,
we
should do that. There were six players, again, missing. Five of the six were the same as yesterday. Dowling, Gregory, Bolden, White, and Trevor Scott. Yesterday we were missing Jerod Mayo, we remember. He had an illness in addition to the elbow that he hurt against the Jets. He was back there today. Bad news is Aaron Hernandez, who was seen riding a stationary bike at practice yesterday, was not out there today. I wouldn't read a whole lot into all of that because he, you know, has played after missing some time in practice during the week. So not an impossibility that he's going to play. In fact, I think he will play. But I just kind of worth noting that he was on the bike yesterday and now missing today. That's something I'm going to be looking for when we get to Wembley this weekend.
When is the first walkthrough? Do you know? Will it be Friday or
no, Saturday?
On Friday? It'll be
no,
Saturday.
No, it'll be Saturday. Okay. Friday will be an off day.
Okay.
So for the most part.
Off day. All right. Here's our buddy Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
I'm doing good, too. So you want two predictions?
Two predictions. And most overrated.
Okay, prediction, us 28-21 in the shootout.
28-21 shootout.
Yeah.
So, in other words, it's going to come right down to the end, you think?
Yes, sir.
I'm with you.
They got a pretty good front line, and the secondary ain't half bad. And I just heard Eric, I think Hernandez still hurt, man.
Yeah.
Still hurt. He's not 100% yet.
No, he's certainly not 100% yet.
And neither is Grunt. You know, so that's what's going to slow us down a little bit. Most overrated. I agree with your UK caller, mm-hmm. Brandon Lloyd, and I got two more.
Okay.
Devin McCourty. And,
overrated?
Overrated.
By who, though?
Well, you know, they're talking about he's doing good, best corner out there. No, he's not.
Well, who's saying that? Who's saying
that? You know, you hear some when they do some of the highlights after the game. Like, McCourty makes some plays.
Really?
He is right about that.
Nationally, people think he's all that?
National pundits.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. No. Overrated to the T. Can't cover. You know, he does good sometimes. Sometimes he's like got amnesia or something. And my other one is I think even though he's a rookie, he's on his way up, though. But that one move, I always try to use a power move all the time against the NFL, tackles, is not going to get it all the time. That's Chandler. He needs to do some more moves.
Overrated, really?
Really?
I think he's got quite a few moves. I've seen him do a lot of different things. He doesn't just bull rush.
Yeah, I do a lot, too. But, you know, I know he's a rookie. I give him that. And I do appreciate we got him on the first round or whatever. But like I said, every time I see him, he try to do too much of a power move on some of those tackles, and he's not getting there. But when he does some other moves, he'll get there or he'll force, you know, then he'll get there. Okay. You know, but I just think he just needs a little more work, a little more technique. But McCourty, he got 3 years. And that was, you know, like I said, that's pitiful.
Well, he's going to get some more time apparently from here on out. So
he
isn't going anywhere anytime soon, because he does have the ability to return some kicks. I think we saw that last week. You know, and frankly, I've always thought this as well. I thought that maybe, just maybe, he might actually be a little bit better safety than a cornerback. And, you know, he's certainly got some versatility where he can do that. We saw that last week.
I don't think he's good at safety either. Like I said, when they go to bunch for me.
Well, then, hell, Eldridge, why don't you just get back there and do it? Because we don't got anybody else.
If I wasn't 51, I most definitely would.
Attaboy. I like it.
I coached junior high. yeah. junior high and high school.
I like it.
You know,
I
so
like
I,
it.
I'd have coached cornerbacks. That's what I'm saying.
See,
and all wrong.
At age 51, the mind says yes, but the legs say no,
buddy.
Flipping
no,
way.
No, no, no.
I love
no
it.
No way. No way. I couldn't do it if I want to.
I love
you
it.
Know? And I wouldn't even take a pay for it if I could.
There you go. See, and that's exactly why I think teams overseas would work, regardless of the, you know, travel and the stress and strain. Guys would give their you know what's in order to be able to play in the NFL. So, and I think you could probably field a couple of teams with the quality of player that you have out there right now. So we're going to move in that direction. Thanks, Eldridge.
All right, thank you.
All
take
right.
care, Eldridge.
I love Eldridge. He's honest. If
yeah.
nothing else,
oh,
he
sure.
is absolutely honest.
Yep.
And he absolutely shoots right from the hip and, you know, everything. So that's good stuff. All right. Don't forget, we need your prediction for the game. Got to have your prediction for the game. Pats, Rams, Sunday at Wembley, historic Wembley, mm-hmm. In London. And most overrated Patriots player to this point in time. I can't believe we're not getting enough respondents on that. I thought for sure people would say, oh, that's an easy one. That's an easy one. And give us the guy that
we
they really love to hate on.
Surprised me.
Yeah?
On the email, yeah.
All right, all right. Well, I'll take a look. I am going to read them all today. I'm going to make sure I get them all in regardless because, you know, PFW guys took 15 minutes of my time off the top of the show. So, you know, Football Nation guys, just hang in there, all right? But come on, people. What are you doing? You want a chance to have your views and your feelings known? You've got a player that you need to gripe about that's overrated? Let's go.
I got one for you.
All right. You need to fire that off, and then we need to hear the word of the day. So,
Danny Woodhead.
Overrated?
Yeah.
All right, now tell me why Danny Woodhead is overrated.
Because I think people think he's...
What are our real expectations of Woodhead, though? I would agree with you if Woodhead were supposed to be a number one or even a number two back. I would agree with you.
No, I think he gets far more credit for being able to do all these things than he really is capable of.
But, Eric, every time he gets the ball, he generally makes something happen when they put him in a position to succeed, kind of like Kevin Falk. You know, he's very hard to tackle, as you know, because he's built so stinking low to the ground.
Yeah. No, I think he's a good player, but I think people think that he's way more than that. And I don't know.
So you're looking at the overrated thing from a different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You're looking at the overrated thing from a fan's perspective and, you know, why are people loving on Danny Woodhead?
As what he really is compared to what people think he is. That's
what
I
want you to take your ability, your knowledge of these players, and you see the players as much as any human on the planet,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because you cover the team every day. That's why we have you here, because we need that insight. I want you to take the guys, and based on your estimation of their football playing ability, who doesn't meet the expectations that you have for them?
Okay.
Rather than than somebody else's
okay.
perspective
Fine.
On a player like you
okay.
gave us with Woodhead.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Then I'll say Gerard Mayo.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
If you take a guy, me with that one, too.
If you take a guy with the 10th overall pick in the draft, I want him to be more than just a guy who collects tackles 5 and 10 yards down the field.
Wow.
So I want
what should Mayo be doing that...
Sacking the quarterback, forcing more fumbles, collecting strip sacks, making bigger plays. Something he has said from the day he got here that he needs to improve on. That's always been his weakness, and that will always be his
But
weakness.
In terms of sacking the quarterback, though, he doesn't really get an opportunity to do that. He's
supposed
but
he
to
does
stay
now.
Home.
No, not anymore. Not when he was a 3-4 middle linebacker, yeah, he was supposed to stay home and mop up in the middle. Now he's not in the middle anymore. Now they've let him roam loose. He's now an outside linebacker in the 4-3. He should be making more plays. Now, if they had done this earlier in his career, maybe he would have developed a little bit more by now, but he's in what year? What is it? Five, six, what year is Mayo?
Five, isn't it?
Yeah, year five. I think you might have hit the ceiling with him. But to me, you could have got. You didn't need to draft him 10th overall to get that. So he's my most overrated, if that's your criteria. The criteria
wow.
you laid out for me, my expectations for him based on his football playing ability, he's overrated.
Wow. I am a little surprised, but I can't say that you're
solid
entirely,
player, but
yes,
he's overrated for where he was picked and all of that.
So you're thinking a 10th overall draft pick should be
more than that.
More than that. Okay, now that's a fair assessment. I'm a little surprised, but fair assessment. My most overrated right now has to be Patrick Chung. And the reason that I select Patrick Chung is quite simple. He ain't on the field. And here's a guy that's developed now into his, what, fourth, fifth year as well, almost,
didn't
he?
He was 09 he was drafted, so this is his fourth year.
11, 12, yeah, so this fourth year, right? Mm-hmm. Fourth year. And I would think because of the talent, and I've heard, in fact, I know that Rodney Harrison has even spoken about Patrick Chung and his ability, and he likes his ability. But because he likes his ability, shouldn't we by now, in year four of his progress, be seeing a Pro Bowl, at least, caliber player? And as far as I'm concerned, I think Patrick Chung has regressed. Mm. He's not had a good season thus far.
I wouldn't even say Pro Bowl. I would say a reliable playmaking safety.
Type of safety.
Yeah.
And I don't even think
we have that. I don't think we have that either.
I just don't think we see that. I'm not seeing out of Patrick Chung what I think we should be seeing for a guy that, again, was selected as highly as he was,
yeah,
even in the second round, mm-hmm, right?
Yep.
So I'm just saying, I think I can probably select from four or five different players that haven't met my expectations, and I have to put Patrick Chung at the top of the list. And by the way, staying on the field, I think good players figure out a way to get it done, i.e. Logan Mankins. Okay? I'm sorry. That now is the new standard bearer for, you know, being able to play hurt as opposed to injured. And I'm just sorry. Guy can play with an ACL tear all year. I realize he doesn't have to cut, he doesn't have to sprint on that leg, but that's called sucking it up and doing what you got to do. And I just don't think we get enough of that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that may be, I don't know that that's part of Patrick Chung's problem now or not, but all I can tell you is that he seems to be hurt a lot, and he seems like he's coming hurt after he struggled on the field.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right, then.
So there you go.
My prediction for the game,
yes,
is the Patriots win, but they don't cover the spread. They win 31-28 in a very exciting game for our UK Patriots fans.
Nice.
And I don't necessarily think it's going to come down to Steven Gostkowski kicking the game winner, but I think it will be a close game.
I'm going to take your New England Patriots, but by a 26-23 margin.
26-23. Is it a Steven Gostkowski winner? Or is
it could potentially be a Gostkowski winner, or it could be a late touchdown, but I think he will somehow out-duel Greg Zuerlein. And I think Zuerlein, we're going to see him have an opportunity to boot a few for the Rams, because I'm not sure that the Rams are capable of sticking in the end zone. They might get it a couple of times, but that would leave then Zuerlein with, what, three? That'd give them 23 on the board.
Mm.
And I think the Patriots will have one more than that. So I'm going to say 26-23 Patriots. But
right. Almost like last week.
Kind of like last week. I do think the Rams will cover the spread. So,
yeah, me too.
By the way, through 7 weeks, I'm 6-1 against the spread.
Are you?
Picking the Patriots, yes.
Okay, John Rook.
Okay, so I just wanted to let you know. Okay, the team may be 4-3. Mm. I'm 6-1, baby.
Against the spread, that's pretty good.
Against the spread, when it comes to picking the Pats games.
Yeah.
So if I'm against the spread this week, I'm taking the Rams.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
That's kind of all I'm saying.
I'm with you.
Yes.
You doing the thing?
Yes, we are doing the thing. In fact, that thing comes up
right now.
Now.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
All right, Mr. Scalavino, enlighten us, please.
Well,
Pip.
In light of the pleasantness and the festivities that are going to be happening across the pond internationally this weekend, I've chosen the word comedy.
Comedy?
Not comedy. Not C-O-M-E-D-Y. Not funny business.
Okay.
Funny ha-ha. Comedy. C-O-M-I-T-Y.
I knew how to spell that one.
Okay. And you know what it means?
No.
Okay. But you knew how to spell it.
I'm a good speller.
Okay,
I'm a good,
good
speller.
It means harmony between nations and or groups of people.
Harmony between nations and or groups.
Goodwill, harmony, peace, and accord between countries and or groups.
So if we use it in a sentence, which we always like to do here on the program.
Yes. The NFL's international series is yet another example of the comity
between the United States and the UK. Perfect. I like that. Perfect. Works for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, brother, have a safe trip overseas.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it.
We'll get the lay of the land from you on Tuesday, next Tuesday's program, or not.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because it's a bye week.
I don't know what our schedule is going to be like, and I don't
Wednesday.
Even know if we're going to be back
by that point.
We have an enormous...
not Tuesday, then Wednesday. It's usually Wednesdays anyway.
Wednesdays anyway, but it could be Tuesday next week. I don't know what's going to happen with the confluence of storms that's predicted for the Northeast.
Well, I would really like to have you here on Wednesday, because it'll be Game Show Wednesday. and we need you as a panelist.
Oh, I'd like to be there, too, and it's also Halloween.
That's true, it is. Oh, we have to have a special show.
Yeah.
Very special, special show.
We can give away copies of your book.
Wow. No. Got to pay for that. Daddy needs to go to the grocery store. Thanks, Kevin.
Well, I'll see you next week at some point, John.
Have a good trip.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, we got to take a break. Then Russell Baxter in the playbook.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for a tremendous fall tire sale. And best of all, there are no forms to fill out, no rebates to wait for. Save an instant $70 when you buy four select Bridgestone tires now through October 31st. We'll take $70 off the invoice on the spot. Save on quality Bridgestone tires, such as the Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. There's a Bridgestone tire for every season here in New England, and now is the perfect time to buy during our fantastic sale. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff, plus easy online appointments and free shuttle service. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and our incredible Bridgestone tire offer. Make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. Sale ends October 31st. In-stock tires only. This is a Sullivan Tire promotion. See store for details.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriot season ticket holder? Join the Patriot season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriot season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of Americard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hope's up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
As we're in hour number two of Patriots Playbook, momentarily that means getting to our pro football guru, Russell Baxter. But first, I wanted to give Melvin in Tennessee an opportunity here. Melvin, you're in the playbook. Go.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, Melvin.
Well, as far as to elaborate on who I think one of the most overrated Patriots are right now,
yeah.
Well, of course, somebody said Lloyd, but I think Julian Edelman is too, although I had his jersey on yesterday. I love the guy. I think he's a solid player, but thinking if he can just replace Wes Welker next year, I doubt that he could, you know, achieve that type of or move to that type of level. I think he should just stay at the level he is now, kind of a fourth receiver. Or he's, you know, he's just okay at anything, not overly great at anything. So I just think that he's a little bit overrated, or if they think that he could take that role, I doubt it.
I think Melvin, that some people would share your selection there, but I'm not so sure that there are a lot of people that really believe deep down that Edelman could actually replace Welker.
Right. Yeah, that's the same thing I'm saying. I just, you know, I think through those, especially these last 4 or 5 weeks that he's been in, Welker's been utilized. He's been the heart of that offense for a while. So, I would say that I thought during the beginning of the season that Edelman can replace him, but not now. You know, Wes Welker makes big plays and big key moments and all that stuff like that. And you know, Julian Edelman can just make a third down catch every now and then, maybe, or a third down
right.
play.
Okay.
You know, he just he's not that dynamic.
Okay. I certainly would have to agree with you. How about a prediction?
Yeah. Well, hopefully, I really believe it's going to be about a 30-20 game. I see the Rams, Packers, and check a little last week, a little bit, but you know, I mean, every time I kind of overlook, or kind of think that it might be a little bit of an easier page to go down there and turn the football over and make it a game. If they don't turn the football over against these teams, they win these games. There's with more talented, I think the better. If they turn the football over, big key, you know, not dropping, you know, kickoff returns back and, you know, leave that offense with just 30 yards to go. Anybody can score there.
Okay.
I think they'll be fine. You know, you just protect the football, you can win these games.
So about 30-20 then?
About 30-20. I still think that they'll beat them about 30-20. Who would ever guess it? You know, if you go against with that division and to say that we're 0-2 against that division, I would have laughed at you prior to this year.
Well, I think the NFC West has proven to be, in fact, the NFC as a whole has proven to be a lot stronger than a lot of people gave it credit for before the season started.
Right. I have to agree, you know, just with the Rams and San Francisco left, you know, they don't have to beat the Rams because San Francisco is going to be, you know, a lot more of a challenge.
Agreed. But, I mean, agreed.
They're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to take care of business, take care of the football. I think they can win the game.
All right. Very good. Yeah. All right, Melvin. Uh-huh. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
You got it. All right, Melvin in Tennessee to the one and only.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
And the aforementioned Russell Baxter joined us in the playbook, as he does every Thursday. ProFootballGuru.com, ColdHardFootballFacts.com, Bleacher Report. Mr. Baxter, how are you today?
I'm terrific. How are you doing, John?
We asked a question. Doing great. Thank you. Our question has to do with overrated players, because I'm sure you've seen the Sports Illustrated poll about overrated NFL players and Mr. Tim Tebow being the top of that. And so we thought we'd just kind of localize it and ask fans for the local version. And quite frankly, I'm a little surprised. And I guess maybe in retrospect I shouldn't be, but I'm a little surprised at the lack of respondents. I think too many people are loving the Pats still around here.
Well, you know, I'm not a much. I'm more of a guy who likes to look at the underrated more than the overrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had somebody.
But you know how we like to bitch about things in the Northeast.
I didn't know it was limited.
Well, in particular, New England.
Listen, Twitter has brought out the whiner in a lot of people. Let's not, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Social media in general, you know, it gives people a chance to vent as much as anything else, you know. I mean, you're sitting there and you're, you know, via Facebook, Twitter, all the other different things, and you got something on your mind. It used to be you kept it to yourself, and now you just let it fly.
Right.
Sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's not so bad thing. And stuff, but you know, Tim Tebow being overrated. I don't know if he's played enough this year to be even rated. We've barely seen him. If you think about it, we really haven't seen a lot of him.
I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
I'm sure that, you know, if those players who voted Tim Tebow as the most overrated had a chance to redo, that they would reconsider, because the fact is the guy doesn't get off onto the field enough.
Now I think here's the thing. Maybe they should do a poll about maybe overexposed.
Now, that's a different question.
Yes, it is.
Right, right.
Okay? I had somebody today, you know, suggesting that Tony Romo was overrated because of all the media coverage he got. And my response to him was, I didn't realize Tony called all those reporters.
Yeah. Well, okay. You can make, you know, and that's a great point, and you can certainly make a legitimate argument for Romo. And by the way, I think he was tied for second or third on that list.
Right, there were a lot of quarterbacks, I believe, on that list. Huh?
Well, it's because the quarterback is the focal point, right?
Why throw a guard on there?
Because nobody watches the guard play.
I don't think anybody's watching anybody but the quarterback play, unless their fantasy receiver is dropping a pass.
They're all going to be, you know, the overrated players are going to be the skill positions. Now,
right.
My choice, for instance, for overrated player. On the Patriots was Patrick Chung, because, you know, I don't think Chung has quite lived up to the hype that he started to generate. In fact, he's really had a down year, and now he's just hurt and he can't even get back on the field. So I don't necessarily want to hold that against him, but I have a way of thinking that I think good players find a way to play, whether they're hurt or not. I've had a few people agree and I've had some disagree, but, you know, I don't necessarily look at just the skill position players
right.
as being not under our microscope. Everybody deserves to be under the same microscope.
I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, it's overrated player, not overrated player that I watch.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's a good point too.
I mean, I know it's a quarterback driven league, but you know, my goodness, out a few other people.
Yeah, yeah, you have
know, to. I mean, you know, over the summer, you know, fielding questions from fans and stuff like that, people are so kind on Twitter to throw out questions, have great debates and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like when you get, you know, Eli Manning has won, you know, two of the last five Super Bowls. Well, I mean, David Tyree and Mario Manningham did have a say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess so did Plexico Burris, so did the guys who blocked for him up front. You know, we forget it sometimes with the game of football. And, you know, again, it's like it's the ultimate team game. And there are the beauty of football. I've told you before, my favorite thing about football, without a question, is the ball isn't round.
Yeah, yeah.
It just makes so many fun things to do. But, Yeah, I was having this topic discussion last week, and I always go back to the 2001 Patriots. I mean, the ultimate team, you know, we obviously all remember them coming out of the tunnel at the Superdome as a team, which was one of the most stirring moments, you know, in a Super Bowl, you know, considering all the circumstances that were going on that year and so on.
Against these Rams?
Against these Rams. Isn't it ironic?
Mm-hmm.
But what I also remember is that postseason was an offensive unit that scored three touchdowns in playoff games.
That's right.
A Tom Brady sneak in the snow. A Tom Brady drive in the Super Bowl, I believe the touchdown pass to David Patton
mm-hmm.
before the end of the half,
mm-hmm.
and a Drew Bledsoe touchdown pass, not a Tom Brady touchdown
right.
pass in the AFC Championship game. And meanwhile, a Ty Law interception return, a Troy Brown punt return, and Antoine Harris.
Antoine Harris, yeah.
State, so, blocked field goal return.
So you're telling me your most overrated Patriot is Tom Brady. Right?
Oh.
Right?
Well, you're never going to hear that. You know, you're never going to hear that. Well, I'll tell you what I love about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's what I love a lot about the Patriots in general, is how this offense changes. Now, I'm not necessarily saying I agree with the beat-all, end-all, you know, scoring points at a rapid rate. I think it still hurts your defense, to be honest with you, John. I mean, you look at Brady's numbers going back to 2007. They are off the charts, and yet when they were a defensive-oriented team, and when they when they had defense, they had hitters, they had smart defensive players, they did a lot of crafty things, winning those three Super Bowls. The defense gets completely overlooked
mm-hmm.
in the early part of that decade about what they did, special teams as well. I always insisted if Adam Vinatieri had kicked one more field goal in the Superdome, that he might have been the MVP over Tom Brady.
Yep.
Who wound up throwing for less than 200 yards, really had the drive at the end of the half,
mm-hmm.
and the drive to get the field goal when, you know, some people thought they should just play for the tie.
Yeah,
and
John Madden.
Yeah, I know, I say that in jest and stuff, but that became such a big, funny part of the story of that Super Bowl.
Right.
And, you know, that's what made the Patriots so unique. I mean, you had to play almost the perfect game against them because you knew they were going to find some sort of way to beat you on something that you maybe didn't think about.
Right.
And in the second sense, they also beat the living you-know-what out of you.
Yeah.
On a weekly basis because that defense, very much like the 49ers in the late 80s, never got credit enough for their defense during their 80s days.
Yeah.
Especially in 19, I mean, they had really good defenses to go along with Montana and Rice
sure
and Brent
did.
Jones. And this is not, I say it every week, you probably get tired of hearing it. This is not Loyola Marymount. You just don't win by, you know, of course you win by outscoring the team. I get that part. But you don't go on a fast break constantly. It eventually affects other parts of your football team. And if your offense is not gelling with your defense and vice versa, you know, we've seen a lot. Think about what we've seen in this league this year. It is hard picking out a consistent football team, even though you have a 6-0 Atlanta and a 6-1 Houston. But week in and week out, you know, Green Bay
mm-hmm.
lost. Oh, Green Bay finally won two games in a row.
Yep.
Okay. Pittsburgh hasn't won two games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
New England losing as many games this year as they did all
of
last
year,
and
right.
one more than the year before that.
Right.
So who is wowing you so far in the early stages here? It's a very perplexing year, and it's going to be really interesting to see how this all shapes out because I think the craziness is really yet to come. Once these teams are in the division, really all start playing each other, we're going to get a little more taste of that this week with some of the rematches, which involve both in the New York teams, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. You know, by the way, just one more comment on last year in particular, only because if the Patriots had beaten the Giants in the Super Bowl with an offense like that and a defense that was statistically as bad as it was, I think that could have set, you know, football on its ear for years. And I think we would have had, we literally would have ushered in officially the new era. I think there are still some coaches, fans, players, front office people alike that still believe that championships are won with defense. But if the Patriots had won last year without a defense, all that goes out the window.
Well, I think it also would depend how they played defense throughout the playoffs. I mean, if you say, listen, what they beat Denver 45-10, okay? Baltimore, they were so-so, okay? You know, they gave up, you know, some big plays in the fourth quarter, which, you know, in Baltimore to get in position to maybe steal that game. And they didn't, you know, other than the early in the game and late in the game against the Giants is when their defense let them down. But, I mean, go back to the 06 Colts. The 06 Colts, they were dead last in the league in rushing defense. But they played defense at the right moment. The Giants last year, remember, gave up 400 points and were outscored during the regular season. But after giving up 25 points in the regular season, John, they gave up 14 per game in the postseason.
Right.
You know? So we keep on seeing this, turning it on at the right time, that eventually you're going to have to stop somebody. Nobody's winning the Super Bowl 65-62.
No, but I think fans would like to see that. I really do.
I think there's a lot of people who'd like to see it. I don't have any question about that. I think there's a lot of people who love that style of football.
See, I have not enjoyed some of the high shootouts we've seen in the college game, like that 70-63 West Virginia Baylor game earlier this year. I mean, that's like playing it on Xbox. You know, I did not. That was not football to me.
Well, yeah. I was having a discussion with somebody today about the overtime rules in the NFL, and I think they are, you know, they're a little different. They're at the postseason level. From last year, whereas, you know, if a team scores a touchdown right away, the game is over. But, you know, I think they also want to try and avoid any kind of similarities to the college overtime game, which, you know, it's, okay, it's your turn, now it's my turn, now it's your turn, and it's my turn. You know, it's tomato-tomato.
Yeah, and who's going to screw up first? That's how you determine it.
I mean, 7 overtimes. Could you imagine we all got paid for 7 overtimes?
Well, I've gotten paid for a 6 overtime game before.
Have you really?
Yeah, I did that Syracuse.
Is it by the hour?
I did that Syracuse UConn game, you know, at the Madison Square Garden a few years ago.
Right. You know, and a half when it goes overtime.
I wish I did the equivalent of almost 2 whole games.
I thought I'd throw it out there.
Oh my Lord!
I'm just trying to help you, Josh.
Thank you. I wish you need to be my agent. I think that's what we need to do. We need to set that up.
I think we need to be each other's agent.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. We need to have this conversation offline.
Yes.
All right, let's start with tonight. Bucks at the Vikings. And frankly, with the Buccaneers 2-4 and the Vikings 5-2, I think as the season started, I would think that those records would be most likely associated with the opposite team in which they currently are.
Yeah. You know, listen, the Minnesota Vikings have a chance tonight to double their win total from a year ago.
How about that?
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
That's shocking, yeah.
Yes, and I just want to, because I know people love to poke holes in things. Listen, I know they lost to the Redskins earlier this year. They lost to the Colts, but, I mean, they went out and out-49ered the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Detroit Lions in Detroit without scoring an offensive touchdown. They were the latest team to have the good fortune of playing against the Arizona Cardinals offensive line, hence 7 sacks last week. But, you know, it was so funny about them last year, because last year, obviously, they were 3-13. And by the way, that 13 losses last year tied a franchise record for the most in the history of the Vikings.
Wow.
When they went 3-13 in 1984 under Les Steckel.
That's a good name, Les Steckel.
Well, it also provided me the best sign I ever saw at a football game. You know, right up there with what the fog is going on here at the Fog Bowl. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Chicago, Philadelphia.
Yes,
somebody
yes.
held up the sign, what the fog is going on.
That is
okay?
a good one.
I mean, I never understood why people bring cardboard and markers to a game. Okay? I usually would bring, like, maybe some water and a hot dog. All right? But here's what, this was an even better sign. 1984, they are playing the Washington Redskins on a Thursday night at the Metrodome, and it is 31-0 Washington in the second quarter. And someone held up a sign sometime during the game that said, less Steckel, more Bud.
that
My
is
favorite
a good
sign
one.
Of all time.
That's a good one. Less Steckel, more
and
Bud.
Guess
I like
what happened
that.
The following year? Bud Grant came out of retirement and wound up coaching the Minnesota Vikings.
I think I remember that. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
1985. Anyway, you asked me about this.
So it
game.
Came. So it came true. Anyway, right?
Yeah, it did come true. You know,
yes.
What's funny about that year too? Week one, they upset the defending Super Bowl champion 49ers.
And I guess everybody was thinking, "Oh man, what a great find this Les Steckel is."
Less Steckel, more Bud. That's still my favorite sign of all time.
That is a
anyway
good one.
Tonight. The one thing about the Vikings that you could never figure out last year, and then listen, I know we like to point to the quarterback, but you know, they have arguably the best running back in the league in Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
They would have, if he's not one, he's two.
Yeah.
The best pass rusher in the league. Jared Allen, who had 22 of the 50 sacks that they had last year, and yet somehow they won only three games. Their defense really collapsed around them. But this year they're playing a little smarter. Now, I will say this. Christian Ponder has thrown two picks in each of the last three games after throwing none in the first four.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Tampa Bay team, you know, with Mark Barron and Rondae Barber playing safety back there that can switch the field on you real quick. They've got a lot of outstanding players. I don't know how much of an outstanding team they are yet. I know that they scored 28 points against the Saints and 34 points against the Giants this year,
mm-hmm.
and managed to lose both games.
Ooh.
Okay, I believe they blew 14-point leads in both of those games.
Mm.
And yet, they go out opening day and hold Carolina to 10 yards on the ground. I still, you know, I'm going to go walk over to the bedroom out of my office and pick up 10 yards. Okay?
Okay?
I mean, that's just, that was astounding.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of good skill people on the, you know, Vincent Jackson, obviously. Doug Martin, the running back from Boise State, the first-round pick. They still have LeGarrette Blount. Josh Freeman threw for over 400 yards last week. They're capable. By the way, they beat the Vikings. They beat them last year. They beat them the last five times they played them. It goes back a little bit. But I think Minnesota probably holds serve at home, but I would not be stunned at all if Tampa Bay came in and beat this team because it's still a young, rebuilding Viking team. And sometimes when you're playing a game, you're quote-unquote supposed to win. Those turn out to be the toughest.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Sunday, the Bills are off in within the division, the tightly packed AFC East as it is. Some would say, a little too tightly wound, perhaps, and maybe not as good as, you know, the parity of the division would indicate. So the Bills are off, and the Dolphins play at the Jets. So we get an interdivisional game. You spoke about briefly that just a couple of moments ago about some of the interdivisional play beginning this weekend. And it's the second place Miami Dolphins going on the road this weekend.
Yeah, and remember, we've already seen these teams play once this year. This is one of those rematches that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Jets in, and we were talking about overtime too.
Yeah.
Jets beat them in overtime in Miami. You know, big night. It was a big game by Santonio Holmes that day. Of course, he's not around anymore. And Miami, who has had last week off, won its last two games. Probably surprised some people. By beating the Bengals in Cincinnati, although they're reeling a little right now, and they outgained by the Rams by 270 yards in their last game, and somehow won that game as well. They barely ran the ball. They had the Rams on a long field all day. Rams picked up a lot of yards, but they couldn't. They struggled to punch the ball in the end zone, and a lot of teams that a lot of people thought might be, and again might. They were probably mentioned as one of the poorer teams in the AFC, finds itself at 3-3. And you get credit to the coaching staff, credit to Ryan Tannehill has come on. Their defense is sneaky, a little shaky in pass defense, but they're pretty staunch against the run. Although those numbers, you got to kind of keep an eye on. That's that old, why drive when we can fly
mm-hmm.
thing. Although if you give them the eye test, they will give up their share of long passing plays. But then they'll come up with the sack with Cameron Wake and Randy Stark. So not an easy game for the Jets whatsoever. Although, what's funny about the Jets, even though they've lost two of their last three, three of their last four, if you go back to the 49er game, that 49er game in some ways, the way they got humiliated at home, I think lit a spark in them for some reason. I mean, they were humiliated. And they played tough against Houston. They played tough last week. They blew out the Colts and did what they had to do. They've actually run the ball for, it was last week 106, the week before 252. I know that's a drop-off, but it's also the first time all year they ran it for at least 100 yards in back-to-back games.
Hmm.
So I think they're a little more positive there. I thought Mark Sanchez, maybe you can fault him for hanging on ball too long, but I thought he threw the ball very well last week.
Against a very bad secondary.
Right. But I think it wasn't so much... It wasn't so much the yards he picked up. I'm talking about actually watching him, John, throw the ball.
Well, I think that's a lot of that, Russell, is because the Patriots gave him time to throw.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. But I'm saying he was pinpoint on, and I think it also helped him that he had Justin Keller back last week a lot. But I'm just saying, listen, that's not going to change. I mean, listen, I've seen Mark Sanchez with some with some time to throw before, and you'll see one go in the ground. You'll see one go over to Ed. You know, I thought he played a couple passes to Curley last week where we're pretty much on the money. He can be erratic as far as his accuracy. I just thought that was one of his more accurate games. And he looked like Johnny threw the ball with a little confidence last week. Sometimes, I mean, you know, all you got to do is look at Cam Newton right now and look at what the lack of confidence can do to your game. And I, you know, I don't see that right now. With all this stuff swirling around the Jets, I don't see a lack of confidence per se on Mark Sanchez's part. Like I said, the Jets, Miami's usually fared very well up here in the Meadowlands, but I think the Jets are going to complete the sweep.
Yeah, I kind of like the Jets. I think the Jets, they played a lot better than I think most everybody expected them to play last week, so I think I'd have to concur. I wanted to take a look at a couple of NFC games only because they, to me, have a lot of intrigue, and they might feature two of the better teams. One of them has to do with the 6-0, the undefeated, the only undefeated team, with the Atlanta Falcons playing at a team that everybody thought, at least before the season started, might be the NFC rep in the Super Bowl, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Eagles are just 3-3 overall, but at home, you know, this might be parity sneaking up. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the Eagles and kind of making a stand to see if they can jump back into the thick of things in the East Division?
Well, I mean, listen, I don't want to say do or die, but I mean, they're kind of running out of
time. They are. They're running out of time. They are.
Right. This is a team that is, I mean, if you go back to last year, they are 11-11 in their last 22 games. They've also turned over the ball 55 times in the last 22 games, including 17 times this year. They blew another fourth-quarter lead when we saw them play 2 weeks ago. It's funny because they haven't been great at home. I will say this, though. They're usually great at home when they play Atlanta. Atlanta, I think, including the playoffs, has lost 6 straight in Philadelphia. They haven't won there since 1988. I'm not saying they play there every year, but it's been a little drought for them. And the thing that's bothering me about the Falcons, and I know it's almost like you feel like you're nitpicking when you point out something on a 6-0 team, but I don't think I'm nitpicking when I look at their defense against the run. And their defense against the run is well below average. I think they're near the bottom 5 in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what has enabled Carolina to stay in the game with them, and Carolina probably let one get away. And, you know, maybe Oakland to stay in the game with them. Even in games that they've won this year, teams have been able to run the football on them. And I think that's eventually going to catch up with you. Now, does Philly have one of those games where they run it 24 times for 172 yards in a half against the New York Giants, which is what they did in the second half when they beat New York?
Yeah.
Or are they going to have one of those games where they run it 18, 20, 23 times and not take advantage of it? If I'm Michael Vick, I'm handing that ball to LeSean McCoy a lot. Because I think he can really do some damage against them. And it's odd about McCoy this year, John. He has more receiving touchdowns, too, than he has rushing touchdowns, one. This was the guy who led the league with 20 total touchdowns last year. I say give him the rock a little, and if that's the case, then they'll be popping champagne somewhere. Well, actually, they'll probably be popping it to two places, Philadelphia and, as we know, Miami.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And then the Monday night game, the 49ers are on the road at the Cardinals, and there's another one of those interdivisional battles that, you know, the Cardinals certainly surprised the Patriots a few weeks back here in Foxborough. And the 49ers, have they kind of stubbed their toe a little lately? Can they get back on track?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can. I mean, this is going to be one of those, you know, we have seen a lot of this NFC West this year, which is just astounding in terms of the defense. You know, most of the games in the division are these nail-biter, low-scoring. I mean, you look at Arizona alone, okay? Arizona beat Seattle 20-16. They lost to the Rams 17-3. You're not seeing these teams in the division, like, score a lot of points against each other. I mean, San Francisco played Seattle the last time we saw them a week and a half ago, 13-6. You look at Seattle, and they've lost 3 games, all on the road, and all within the division. 20-16, 19-13, 13-6. I mean, these are softball scores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? You know, the Rams beat them without scoring an offensive touchdown. Remember 4 field goals, a 58 and a 60-yarder from Zuerlein?
Yeah.
And they faked field goal to Danny Amendola. So, I mean, and you look around the quarterbacks and just pass protection. The Cardinals have given up most sacks in the league, 35, and 29 have come in the last 4 games. But right up there are the Rams And right up there are the 49ers in terms of pass protection. Not good pass protection, because the pass rushers in that, I want to say it's not even so much pass rushers, but pass rushing units in that division really come at you. And then you add Seattle, who's got cornerbacks as big as whatever. I mean, Richard Sherman, that secondary.
Yeah, we Patriots learned that the hard way, too, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you got some muscle men back there and stuff. So, but I will say this. The Cardinals did beat San Francisco in Arizona last year. And this is going to be terrible, but I just have a hard time with Arizona not being able to protect anybody. I mean, they've given up 8, 9, 5, and 7. That is not my gold locker combo. That is the number of sacks in the last 4 games that they have allowed.
That's hideous.
Yes. And, you know, they gave up 8. It's funny, they gave up 8 to the Dolphins and somehow managed to win the game.
Yeah.
Okay, but now, you know, here's a team that's lost 3 in a row after being 4-0. And I would be shocked if Arizona won, but this pass protection is a real issue.
All right, well, then let's get it then to the game at Wembley, which is a 1 o'clock Eastern time start. It'll be 5 o'clock local in London, and the Patriots and the Rams in this year's London Bowl, or whatever it is that the NFL calls it. 6th year here, and we actually had a caller earlier, one of our UK Pats fans, tell us that he thinks, at least from his perspective, that the NFL is continuing to pick up steam and momentum and interest overseas in London and Europe. And so my question to you is, if this is true, do you still foresee a time on down the line? It may not happen in our lifetime, but can you see an NFL European division?
I don't know if I'd go that far. Listen, I think they're still waiting to get an L.A. division.
Yeah, that's our West Coast division would be nice, right?
Right.
I mean, I know
you can't spell England without L.A., but I mean, I'm sure there are people in the league with like a team in Los Angeles.
That's a good
before
point.
Before they won it in London.
Yeah,
but
good
I
point.
Will say this: next year, I believe there are 2 games scheduled for London. I believe Jacksonville and San Francisco.
That is correct. We seem to be moving that direction. Yeah. So
right. Which I love the NFL. For, you know, how clever are they? They send New England to Old England.
Yeah.
Next year they're sending Big Ben to Big Ben.
Right.
And I got to figure the Redskins are going to be in play here soon so they can send London Fletcher to London.
Oh, that has to happen.
Yeah, of course it does.
Oh, that absolutely has to happen. That's a good. See, I wonder if the NFL PR people have even thought of that yet.
No, I hope they're listening.
Well, they might be.
Listen, you and I can form that agent bond, and we can take care of a lot of things in the next 20 minutes.
I'm telling you, you know what? We just got to put our minds to this, Russell.
With our phones.
Yes, we could clean up, though. You know, I don't know why we're messing around with this, you know, with this stuff. All right, so I know why we're messing around with this stuff. It's called paying the mortgage. All right, here we go. The Rams have a team that certainly seemed to be bothered somewhat by injuries, specifically on the offensive side. They've had, you know, jumbling of the offensive line in front of Sam Bradford. Bradford looks like he is gettable. Danny Amendola, I know, practiced a little bit this week, but I don't think that anybody really expects him to play. The Patriots, on the other hand, are probably, you know, they're not as banged up as some, but they have their own share of issues. Certainly they've had some unsettling offensive line play as well. But, you know, the big thing that with the Patriots, as our fans know, is the secondary being a weakness right now, and whether or not the Rams, in this particular instance, Bradford, and he has a couple of receivers that can go big play on you, can they take advantage of going deep and make this a ball game?
Well, I think pass protection is a big part of this game on both parts. I mean, the Rams have not been great at it. And although the Patriots have been better at it, they're also playing one of the better and more talented young front fours in the league, which is loaded with number one picks.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Long, Howie Long's son.
Right.
Robert Quinn, who's leading the team in sacks.
Robert Quinn was a guy the Patriots really liked.
Right. So, I mean, they're loaded there. You know, they drafted Michael Brockers in the first round this year to play on the inside. He's a solid linebacker, and James Laurinaitis.
Brockers is a guy I really liked. So,
yeah. I mean, there, you know, and look at the coach. Here's a coach who believes in a pretty simple philosophy when it comes to defense, as you know, John.
Right.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher's never been a blitz guy. He likes rushing his 4 guys and dropping 7. He did it in Tennessee forever, and they had some really good. I mean, he had Kyle Bandenbosch down there, and he had Albert Haynesworth whenever the mood struck him. Down there, but he was all, you know, Jason Jones, who's now in Seattle, but you know, it was always a team, okay, that was reliant on the front four, okay? It was not a team that would bring linebackers. You know, Keith Bullock did his share of dropping back in the coverage and did pretty well at it as well. So that's what Jeff believes in. He believes in getting heat with the front four, and he's got some talent there. So it's a matter of, can you keep Brady safe? Can you keep Bradford safe? And that, to me, is really a big part of the game. I think that the running games kind of nullify each other. You know, they either could both have success or they could neither have success. You know, I think that because the Rams become a little deeper back there. I know Steven Jackson is obviously still pretty solid, but they have also have some other guys who can play there as well.
Well, the kid Richardson averages better than 5 yards a carry.
Right. I mean, they listen, they're a work in progress, the Rams. This is a team that's, you know, they've won three games this year, which, you know, you look back the last couple of years, they came into this season with 15 wins in 5 years. So, you know, Jeff, like I said, he's got some work to do there. He's got some, you know, the secondary features, Courtland Finnegan, which is always an interesting matchup no matter who he's on. Janoris Jenkins is back there, the second-round pick starting at the other corner. They're an intriguing team and an intriguing division that we've spent the last couple of minutes talking about. But much now, I said this about Seattle. I couldn't figure out how Seattle was going to generate enough points, you know, other than turnovers and stuff, too. And you know, they didn't return anything. But, you know, the Rams, to me, are even a little more strapped offensively. So keeping up with the Patriots here, I think, is tough. I think Bradford will get his yards. I think he'll have his a couple of big plays and so on. But, you know, I don't think it'll be easy, but I also don't think it'll be difficult. How's that? I heard somebody say 30-20, which, ironically, that's the score the Rams lost by last week.
Right, they lost that way to Green Bay, right. Correct, yes.
31-20, that sounds like something in the ballpark. You know, last week, listen, it can't be a lot of fun if you're a Rams defensive player. You know, in back-to-back weeks.
Can't be a lot of fun to be a Patriots player in the secondary right now either.
No, I mean, not at all, but what I'm saying is, all right, we're done with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Now we get to face Tom
Brady.
Now
you get Tom Brady. That's true.
Yeah. But that's more my point.
Looking at it from the New England point of view, they've given up season-high yardage totals to Flacco, Fitzpatrick, Russell Wilson, and Mark Sanchez 4 straight weeks.
Well, so
to me then, that means that the Rams are a shoo-in to go better than whatever it is they're averaging on offense, which is, I think, total offense is barely over 300 yards a game.
I think it'll be a competitive game. It might not necessarily reflect it on the scoreboard. I just think New England's got other options. I'll be interested to see who they exactly is going to cover Rob Gronkowski in this game. And obviously, a little sidelight, you know, Brandon Lloyd, who was at one time a Ram last year.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
You know, will be there. And, of course, Josh McDaniels, I believe, was also there.
Offensive coordinator.
Last year as well. So, I mean, those little intriguing things. It's not like I don't want to call it a revenge game in the league.
No.
Okay?
No.
But I'm just thinking the over-under on Adam Vinatieri, 48-yard field goal replays. I'd say about 3.
Yeah, I was going to say 3.5.
Yeah. we'll see some references to Super Bowl 36 for sure.
I'm sure we will. Hey, great to talk to you as always, my friend.
And yes, let's talk soon.
Let's talk again soon, shall we? We'll try next week.
You got it.
Thanks, Russell.
Thanks, John.
You got it. Russell Baxter, catch him on ProFootballGuru.com. Catch his Bleacher Reports. You can catch him on ColdHardFootballFacts.com as well. All right, let me get into some emails here and some Facebook posts that we've had over the last half hour or so. And, again, our questions, in addition to predicting the game score on Sunday, has to do with your thoughts on the most overrated Patriots player right now. Joe and Michigan writes, John, I predicted a blowout last week. Definitely didn't happen. It was good to see the team win a close one, though. My predictions, Patriots 27, Rams 17. Brady, couple touchdowns, one to Gronk, one to Lloyd. Rams will score 2 touchdowns, keeping the game close in the first half, but the Patriots pull away in the second. Sam Bradford does scare me a bit, but I think the Patriots know their bye week is next week, and they play with that in mind, knowing they can rest up next week. That's a good point. We really haven't talked about that. Patriots really should pin their ears back and let it go because they're off next week. And you don't want to go into the bye week on a loss. There's really nothing. I mean, there's just that makes a very painful week. It makes a very long 2-week stretch. And I think that there is something to that. Felix from Houston says, first thing that comes to mind, overrated, is Patrick Chung. As much as I love the Oregon Duck every year, there's so much hype around him. He's inconsistent in coverage. He never makes key plays. Also seems to be made of glass. I couldn't agree with you more, Felix. That was my pick. I don't think the guy's ever played a full season. I know there's no such thing as saying a player from the secondary to be overrated, but this is the first thing that comes to mind. It also made me laugh when you said, I'll be in Kentucky this weekend. Laugh out loud. Yeah, well, unfortunately, I will be. Prediction for the game across the pond, he says, 34-24, Pats. Good stuff, Felix. Thanks for writing in. Yes, I have the Cincinnati-Louisville game tomorrow night. That's where I'll be, on national radio. Okay, Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. My list of overrated Patriots. Patrick Chung, number one, never lived up to the hype or his talent because he continues to make bad decisions, can't stay healthy. Okay. Number two, Brandon Lloyd hasn't lived up to expectations, although he's made some nice catches. He's also dropped some easy ones that he should have caught. He didn't get open as much as you'd expect from a guy with his speed, but that said, he's still better than Ocho Cinco. Good stuff, Howard. Josh from Charlottesville. I'm picking the Pats 34-24. Our secondary is going to make Bradford look much better than he really is, but I think our streak of these tough games with the AFC West is now over. I think he means NFC West. They have a good pass rush, but I think our O-line is going to get the job done and holds it together. Look for the Pats to finally dial it in on this one. Now for the most overrated Patriots, I'd have to say Razai, even though as much as I hate to say it because I'm also a Wahoo, University of Virginia fan, being from Charlottesville, yes. Assuming he is even highly rated enough to be considered overrated is debatable. I was just going to go that direction, Josh. He's failed to stay healthy enough to piece together any kind of productivity. Wouldn't be surprised if he was gone very soon. Here's Abe in Detroit. I would suggest that Tom Brady is the most underachieving player on the team. He's definitely not playing up to his capabilities, and it seems like he's afraid to get hurt. Wow. Share us with your real feelings there, Abe. Okay. But nonetheless, thank you. I'm not sure I'd agree, but that's okay. Let's go to Axel from Sweden. And let's see. Let me see. Here we go. John and Eric and Kevin in the booth. I'm packing for a little trip tomorrow. I'm going to London. And to show that I still believe that the Pats defense can still play, I'm going to buy a dinner jersey. My prediction is Pats 24, Rams 20. Did I screw that up? He's from Denmark, isn't he? Where did I get Denmark? Okay. Anyway, sorry, Axel. My bad. Anyway, my predictions, Pats 24, Rams 20. Rams defense will keep the game close, but their offense will not be able to keep up with the Pats at times, sporadic offense. I'm pretty scared of the Rams D-line, though. I hope that Brady doesn't get hit as much as Cobb did when the Cardinals played the Rams. I think Ninkovich is overrated. Yes, he makes plays, but when he isn't, I can't find him on the field. He's overrated because of people like him that make it sound like he's on the same level as guys that are a lot better than him. All right, I see what you're saying. I'm so freaking pumped for the game, my first live game ever, and to describe exactly how pumped I am, I will quote on off the biggest, well, he says, one of the biggest bleeps in the NFL, Bart Scott. Can't wait! That's a good one, Axel. Thank you, my friend. And thank you for chiming in, as always. Our friend Mary Beth on Facebook says, Woody rocks. What is up with Eric? Eric Scalavina, before he left us today, said that he thought that Danny Woodhead was most overrated. She says he almost always makes a play and was not picked like a first or a second rounder. Could not agree more with you, Mary Beth. I don't think he qualifies in my book as a true overrated player because we're not asking him to be the star. We're asking him to be the effective bit player, and I think he does that marvelously well. Michael, Sam in England called it correctly. Brandon Lloyd is the most overrated Patriot. He's not the major threat that was hoped. He is not a bust, but he is not enough of a threat to open up the middle of the field or open up the run game. As for a prediction, our secondary will find a way to give up yardage, but we'll hold the Rams to a number of field goals. Our offense will do enough to win, 27-16. I think that's pretty well thought out there, Michael. And our buddy Tim. The NFL was popular in England even before I left in 97. And that was with almost no live games. Instead, we got a show that would show a game of the week. The entire thing with no huddles or breaks, so the game was a true hour with highlights. It was dominated by the Cowboys, the 49ers, and the Marino-led Dolphins. Florida is a vacation land for UKers. Overrated? Well, I have to go with Dowling from listening to this show over the last couple of years. Not sure what some see in him. could argue McCourty, too. He is a captain, after all. That's a good point about McCourty. He's a captain. Probably should be on a different level playing field-wise, even though he still is a relatively young player in just his third year, right? Prediction, Pats win 31-27. Hard to not be scared of any offense at the moment. Seattle and the Jets aren't exactly powerhouses and could move the ball at will at times. Brian says, most overrated Patriot is easy. It's Tom Brady. Wow. He's the best quarterback in the NFL, but people seem to think he can throw the ball and catch it and block for himself. All right, I think I see where you're going here. I crowed to everyone within shouting distance, beware the Cardinals, beware the Seahawks. So I'd like to think I have some credibility when I say, don't fear the Rams. Patriots 40, Rams 17, spurred by frequent Ram three and outs. Well, since the Patriots don't do a good job of three and outs, we'll revisit this next week, Brian. Chris says, Pats 24, Rams 22. Overrated Patriot, Danny Woodhead. This was quite difficult because I think Woody's had a better year than last year, but overall, I think he's less productive than his rep would indicate. Definitely looking forward to most unsung player, for which I think there are far more Patriot candidates. Call me crazy, but I would also suggest that on a national level, Danny Woodhead is a possibility. Yes, I would agree with that. He's definitely an unsung player, even if you do think he's overrated, Chris. That's pretty good. And then Keith says, we'll give him the final word here. Keith says, John, you often say that you can't make chicken soup with chicken feathers. That's true, although I don't exactly use that exact phrase. I say chicken soup with chicken bleep, but that's okay. Keith, we're to try to keep this as a family show. But you can say, yes, thank you. You can stuff a pillow with them, though. Yes, you can. Could part of the Pats' problems be down to stubbornness on the part of the coaches who want players to do things they're incapable of rather than writing plays to make best use of the talents the players have? Keith, I think that's a brilliant, brilliant observation by you. I think that's the conundrum that we currently face. I think that the coaches are trying to, you know, they're thinking that we brought these guys in here and these guys aren't doing what we originally thought. And so they keep hammering the nail. They keep hammering the nail. And the problem is the nail's bent. You got to straighten the nail out before you can hammer it in and make some headway. How's that for an analogy? So the only way to straighten out this nail is to play to the strengths of the guys you got. Let's game plan this thing so that you're taking advantage of what you have and not exposing what you don't have. I think very well put, Mr. Keith, very well put. Thank you for the post. All right, that's going to put a wrap on this one. You know, obviously it's going to be a huge weekend. The Patriots obviously will have, oh, goodness, you know, I think they'll have a tough time out of it on Sunday. I think you can certainly watch for a guy like Janoris Jenkins, and I personally believe it'll be Courtland Finnegan that'll see a lot of time on Wes Welker, and that's a matchup that I'll certainly be watching and probably could have a lot to do with deciding the ultimate outcome of the game. I do think the Patriots win, but I think it'll be much closer than a lot of people saying that it will be. The official spread's 7.5. I like the Rams to cover it, and I think the Rams are capable of winning it if the Patriots shoot themselves in the foot. But we will revisit next week. We'll be back same Pat's time, same Pat's channel next Tuesday. It's a bye week next week, so we got special things planned here in the playbook on our bye week. It's not that we're going away all week. We'll be here. We'll have programming every day. Game show Wednesday will make its comeback. So you'll want to make sure you tune in for that, but we'll see you on Tuesday. Football Nation is coming up next right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2